84 years old. There is no sign of this woman quitting, is there? She is not retiring. She was so fiery. I love it. I love it. It's like I was talking to Lauren and Mark, and they said, what do you think? I said, I will never turn down an 84-year-old woman that has a prophecy that has 60 years behind her of prophesying. I don't care when or where. She can always prophesy here. Well, Lauren ran out of books. Lauren Cunningham ran out of books. I mean, everybody took them. He had 2,500 of them. And you took them, and he offered them at a donation basis. So he ordered 2,500 more. So you could go to the Call to All booth. It's there to the info meetings down one floor. And it's for a donation. You know, he's pay the whole thing if you can. If you can't afford anything or 50 cents, all that Lauren asks is that you read it if you take it. So he sent 2,500 more. I tell you, I love Lauren Cunningham, Joy Dawson. What a joy to have the YWAM leadership in our midst. What we are blessed among those in the earth to have these choice servants in our midst, putting their hands on us, and Dick Eastman, people like that, saying, we are with you. Like, wow. Okay, page 43. And then after this, we'll have our info meeting. I'll quit in time to get us at the info meeting at 5:15. So I'll be abbreviated here for the Bible school, the full-time Bible school. And we'll be right there at the, through the info meeting. You know where it's at. We'll try to get the meeting over 15, 20 minutes, give you, the main information, answer a few questions, maybe 20, 25 minutes max with the questions, and get you have time to have a meal before the 7 o'clock meeting. Page 43, we're going to talk. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask you, even now, to pour out your Spirit. Holy Spirit, do what you do best and what you enjoy most. Exalt Jesus. Exalt Jesus in the human heart. Lord, we ask you to heal Joy Dawson. Heal her body right now. She's sick in her body. Lord, we stand with her and just proclaim healing over her physical body, the great pain she's in. We ask the pain would go now. The pain would be completely gone. You would heal her body in her 84th year. In the name of Jesus, amen. The session, page 43, allegiance to Jesus. Resisting the false justice movement. Now the Spirit is speaking about this subject. Beloved, there is a false justice movement that is emerging in the earth in this very hour. But it will be eclipsed by a far more dangerous movement in a few years from now called the Harlot Babylon or the Harlot Religion. There's a worldwide false church that is already in the making. Revelation 17 lays it out with great clarity, many details about it. But in these early days, in 2010, already we can see across the whole earth the stirrings, the forerunners. I'm using that in a negative sense. There are counterfeit forerunners that are preparing for one of the most evil, well, the most evil religion in history that will prepare the way for Antichrist worship afterwards. Now that, I know that's a little bit hard to follow all of that, maybe if it's a new idea, but we have it in the notes. And by the way, we've gone through 6 sessions. There's no way you can hear these. It's like, it's too much at one time. And so I want to encourage you to get these teachings and go through them again. We'll have them all on the internet free. You can watch them video, audio. We'll have them. The transcriptions will be on the internet real soon. If you want to go through this, and again, our copyright's the right to copy. Whatever you like, take it, make your own documents, your own Bible teachings, and put your name on them and run with them. But don't take this four-day conference here and this one thing conference 09 and say, okay, I got it. No, all we're doing is hinting. We're only pointing to the path of areas that you need to be focusing on and studying. And it will take you months and even years to go deep on these subjects. So don't walk away from here going, man, it's too much. Of course you can't get it sitting in 2 long sessions every afternoon. It's too much information. But we have it all recorded for you so you can have it on the internet and you can take time at your leisure and develop it little by little. But there is a false justice movement emerging in the earth. The reason it's deceptive, because they're using the word justice. They're using the word compassion. The devil knows how to use the word justice and compassion very cleverly. There's a harlot religion which will be an official worldwide religion. They won't call it the harlot religion. That's Jesus' name. They will call it something like the worldwide benefit of unified people in peace or some crazy name like that. They will call it wowwowwowhumanbeings.com, something like that. But Jesus says it doesn't matter what they call it. It doesn't matter how they dress it up. It doesn't matter what gift wrapping they put. That box is filled with poison snakes. So every time somebody says justice, tolerance, compassion, again, don't be so open-minded, your brains fall out. See if it's in the Word of God, if it lines up with what Jesus said. It's not enough to feed the poor. We have to feed the poor on Jesus' terms. It's not enough to help people. The devil will help people in order to seduce them into his prison. Helping people's not enough. Helping people in Jesus' way, on his terms, in allegiance. I don't mean we have to say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus every time we give somebody a cup of cold water. But we're doing it for the gospel's sake. We're doing it to introduce them to the truth. I mean, we want to love them as an act of itself, but we are people with allegiance to Jesus doing works of justice because we love people, but we do want to take the opportunity to lead them to truth. And the devil's people will be doing acts of justice and acts of compassion. The devil's movement will be humanitarian. Trust me, it will be humanitarian, but it is a trap. It's to lead people away from Jesus, to seduce them with noble ideas of the dignity of their cause so that their alert and their guard is down so they walk into deception. Paragraph A, the Spirit is calling the church to fierce loyalty. I mean, we love Jesus. We are so bold. I don't mean just me. I'm talking about the end time church worldwide. We love this man, fully God, fully man. We don't want anything except on his terms, in his way, according to his agenda. Paragraph C. In Revelation 17, the most significant end time prophecy, I mean, is a most significant one. It's not the most, but it's a very, very significant one, because it gives us insight into the false justice movement. Paragraph D, Paul prophesied, as did many in the Bible, of a great falling away in the end of the age. That's why this subject is so essential. Many people will fall away by being deceived into the false justice movement. They will begin to distance themselves from the critical, crucial truths about Jesus. I'm watching it happening right now all across America. Young people, fiery for Jesus a year, two, or three ago, now they're in justice movements, and they're saying, well, you don't want to be so dogmatic. You don't want to be sure. I mean, who can know for sure? All of that is rubbish. We can know for sure. We know what the truth is. And we want to be tender. We want to be humble. But we don't want a humility that's a clumsy, cluttery humility that isn't humility at all. All it is self-promotion with a man-pleasing spirit. The humility we want is tender, but it's clear and it's bold. And we love the people so much, we will tell them the truth because we know the air will bring them into the seduction and deception of demons. If you truly love, speak the truth. Speak it tenderly, but speak it. Don't have a doctrine of love that is silent when the controversial issues come up. There's timing, there's a right spirit, there's a right approach, but we are lovers of the truth and we're lovers of the man Jesus in all of our outreaches because the devil's already raising up justice movements that aren't so concerned about how Jesus fits in the movement. We are very concerned about how he fits in the movement. paragraph D. Paul is prophesying, and the others, other biblical writers, of a falling away in the end of the age. That's why this subject is so essential. 1 Timothy 4. The Spirit expressly says, in the latter days, some will depart from the faith. Beloved, Paul said, the Holy Spirit expressly says. In other words, he was putting a double emphasis. He goes, this is a prophecy, but I mean the Spirit was really energetic. Tell the people, Paul, tell them, in the latter days, some will fall away. I don't believe the majority will fall away, but I believe a couple hundred million will fall away. I don't know the number. I don't believe the Spirit would be this urgent about it if it was a few folks here or there. I believe it's going to be a massive, not the majority, but I believe it will be tens of millions, probably hundreds of millions. But on the other side, there's coming in the greatest harvest in human history. A billion new ones are coming in, and the new ones will come in by those that are preaching the full gospel that's in the Word of God, and they will come in with an allegiance to Jesus. Paragraph E. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at this. These are two of the main signs of the times, of the end times. Paul's two events or trends that reveal, events and trends, that reveal the end time, the generation Lord returns, is right here in 2 Thessalonians 2. He says, verse 3, let no one deceive you. The day, meaning the second coming, it won't come until two things happen. The falling away comes and the Antichrist is revealed. Don't let anybody deceive you. Jesus is not coming any minute. He's not coming until the apostasy, the falling away happens, and the Antichrist is revealed on the planet. And in a way that's obvious, we will all know who he is. I don't care who he is now. People come to me, I think I know who he is. I say, I'm totally disinterested. He's revealed in a way the Bible says, then I care when he's revealed. But until the Antichrist is revealed and the falling away takes place, the second coming is not coming. But here's the point I'm really making. The falling away is as major of an event as the appearing of the Antichrist on the world stage. Can you imagine how big of an event the Antichrist appearing on the world stage is? Well, the falling away is an event that's that big too. Meaning, it's not just a whisper in a corner. This will be a massive falling away. It will be the main subject on our minds. There will be so many people leaving Jesus when the pressure, the battle for Jerusalem, when the battle for truth, when persecution breaks forth, when it's time for forerunners to be faithful witnesses, which is now, it's time to do that now, but it's going to increase in intensity in the years ahead. Many will fall away. More will not fall away. The majority won't, but millions will. And billions are coming to salvation after that. I mean, in that same context. Paragraph G. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're in the same chapter that we were a minute ago. Paul said, the coming of the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, he will have power, signs, and lying wonders. He will have deception. He will deceive. He will trick all kinds of people with his miracles. Why did the people fall prey to his deception? Paul says it in one phrase. They did not love the truth. They wanted to be saved. They wanted their life to be happy, but they did not love the truth. They said, we don't really care about the truth that much. As long as people like us, as long as we feel good about our walk with God, as long as we feel like we're going to go to heaven, we don't care what the truth really is. Paul said, if you don't love the truth, I mean willing to die for it, you will be vulnerable to deception if you don't love the truth. You don't have to be a mature Christian, but you have to set in your heart, I don't care what the truth is, I am standing for the truth, I will die for the truth, I want the truth, I don't care if it's new to me, if it's unfamiliar, if it's in the Bible, I want it, and I love it. And one of the things we care about is that young people make a decision, a fierce decision. I will love the truth. I don't care if my ministry falls apart. I don't care if everybody turns against me. If it's in the Bible, I'm standing even unto death for this truth. That's the only way forward, is to love the truth. Top page 44. There's an Antichrist worship movement. It's a couple steps down the road. Right now, there's a false worship movement. Next is coming a harlot worship movement that's going to allure all the folks that are, many of the folks that are in the wrong way now. That harlot worship movement is going to be turned into the Antichrist worship movement. And I have details here and a lot more on our website. I don't want to give all the break it all down here, but I want to give you a sense of what's happening. Right now is the early stirring. The early stirring. Then we got an official world church. It's coming down the road. It's not here yet. It's the heart of Babylon. Then the Antichrist worship system is after that. And there's a reason why there's several steps to it. I don't want to go into that right now, but some of it's covered here, and I got a lot of information on the website. Revelation 13, verse 4. They will worship Satan, the dragon. They will worship the Antichrist, who's the beast. Verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. That doesn't mean every individual, because there's a great worship movement for Jesus. It means all the nations will have a representation of this worship movement in it, but all the nations will have the true worship movement in it as well. And the conflict at the end of the age is a conflict of two houses of prayer. The collision is going to be a collision of two houses of prayer. The Antichrist house of prayer and the Jesus house of prayer are coming into full collision, and it's going to be walked out in the preaching of the gospel to all nations and the battle for Jerusalem. I mean, it's going to become intense, but the glory of God is going to be like no time in history. Signs and wonders beyond the book of Acts, signs and wonders beyond the book of Exodus, what Moses did when Israel was delivered out of Egypt in oppression. Paragraph B. There are two stages in Satan's plan to be worshipped by all nations. He has two stages. One, the harlot Babylon stage, which is a few years down the road. I don't know how long. It will be a real institution. It doesn't exist right now. Why are there two stages? Paragraph B. The devil knows it's too big of a step for people with a religious heritage, whether Christian or Muslim or Hindu or Jewish or whatever, it's too big of a step for them to leave their heritage and become Satan worshipers. That's too big. So he's going to have a couple steps in between. They will pull away from their religion and join the harlot religion. Again, it won't be called the harlot religion. It'll be called, you know, manisreallyawesome.com. You know, I already told you that. It's going to be some fancy name with dignity, with world peace and everybody's right and nobody's wrong. And many religions will join it, and there will be no demands, no absolutes. Everybody's right. No one's wrong. All religions lead to the same God. It's the sort of thing that the Oprah religion is preaching right now. But there's many that are doing it. She's just one of the most vocal. And it's sweeping the land, the Oprah religion. Everybody's right, nobody's wrong. And everybody claps, except for heaven. Hell is clapping. They go, yes, go, 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 go. Go right and join us in the lake of fire. Heaven is saying, no, this is a lie. Don't buy this. So the devil knows it's too big a step to go from a religious background into full-on Satan worship. So he has an intermediate step, the harlot religion. No absolutes, total tolerance of everything. All religions lead to God. Top of page 45. Revelation 17, verse 1 to 6. You want to understand these six verses. You really do. They're really straightforward. I'm sure they have deeper meaning, but there's a simple, straightforward meaning to this world religion. Let's read it. come. This is an angel speaking to John the Apostle in the book of Revelation. I will show you the judgment of the great harlot. This is the harlot religion. Verse 2. The kings of the earth will commit fornication with her. The great leaders of the earth will buy into this religion. They will promote it. I mean, the Obama religion is in this direction. The Oprah religion is in this direction. The kings of the earth will promote this everything is right kind of religion. Some more bold than others. And I don't know where President Obama is. I pray for him regularly. He's either one of two things. He is either not a believer at all, or he is a true believer and he's in profound deception. And he needs deliverance. He's one or the other. But one thing's for sure, he's not speaking the truth of God when he talks on religious issues. I love this man because he's human, and I love humans, and he's my president, and I am fighting for his blessing and prosperity in prayer. I'm standing with him. But when this guy talks as a Christian, as a brother, I go, you're either a deceived brother or you're not a brother, because this is not the truth what you're saying. So I love the man, but I'm not buying his religion. But I stand for him. Same with the Oprah religion. I see Oprah as kind of like the, you know, the first lady of this false religion emerging, the pastor. There's many that will be like her. It feels so good, seems so good. It is filled with deception. You must know that. Most of you do. Anyway, the kings of the earth are going to like this religion. The inhabitants of the earth will be drunk with it. Meaning the millions of the earth to be drunk with this religion, they will love it. Everybody's right. Everybody's free, which means they're in demonic bondage. Everyone is free. Everyone is right. The nations will be drunk with it. The talk show hosts will be drunk with it. The leaders of the earth will be drunk. Oh, it's great. It's great. And we will stand tenderly in humility, but unflinchingly. We aren't drunk with that religion. We are exposing it. Because we love you, and because we love the Lamb who receives the reward of his suffering when people are loyal to him. Verse 4, this woman, this religion, will be arrayed in purple. She will look royal. I mean, the top leaders of the earth will be with her. She will be appear royal. We will understand she is false. The nations will be applauding her. The greatest religious unity in history is coming right around the corner. We will resist it. We will not buy it. And they will look at us and say, what do you crazy prophetic people want? Jesus prayed for unity. You pray for unity. Finally, we have unity. Everyone's happy besides you guys. What is it you want? We want unity on Jesus' terms. Not just unity, unity on his terms. I don't want unity on the devil's terms. I'm not interested in that unity. That's bondage and deception gift wrapped. But there's poisonous snakes in that gift. This woman's arrayed with purple. She's adorned with gold. It will be the richest religious movement in human history. They will have so much money, so much unity, the leaders of the earth will back them up. We'll say, no, 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 it's from hell. No, no. They'll even use the name Jesus. They'll make him equal to everyone else. He's not equal to anyone. There's nobody like Jesus. He's not one of many. He's chief among 10,000. He's one of a kind. There is nobody who's fully God and fully man. She will have a golden cup. This will be a cup of service. She will offer a golden cup of service. She will serve humanitarian needs. She will help the poor. She will help the orphans. She will build schools. It will be a golden cup. She will be serving all. But the angel told John, That cup is filled with abomination and filthiness. Abomination means demons. Filthiness means sexual perversion. Don't buy into that golden cup. It's filled with devils and perversion. It's a cover-up for their sin in their own way, no matter what language they dress it up with. Verse 6, John looked at this woman. He saw her true nature. This happy, prosperous, unified, serving the poor religious movement. Verse 6, they will be drunk with the blood of the saints. They will murder the saints, and the more they kill the saints, the bolder they will get. They will be drunk in their rage to kill the saints, and the more they kill, the more intoxicated and bolder they will, and they will be unified. They will kill the saints of Jesus in the earth, but it will look so beautiful on the front end. Arrayed in purple, adorned in gold, serving the nations, but look behind the scenes. Her service, go down a couple levels, is filled with perversion, demonic abomination, and she will kill the saints of Jesus when the setting is right. Now, she'll go after the saints through media, through legal processes. I mean, the things that I'm even saying here right now, these are simple little things. I mean, the battle's just barely beginning. There will be lawsuits, there will be slams, there will be Christian leaders taking a stand. This is false, this is evil, these guys are crazy. I mean, people like us, the things we say, lawyers will come after us, laws will come against us. That's the beginning of the beginning. They will be drunk with our blood before it's over. It's not just they're going to take away our buildings here and there. Not just they're going to hassle us. They will be drunk with blood. They will be emboldened in their murderous rage. They are not a peace movement, no matter what they look like. Let's look at page 47. Page 47, Roman number 5, allegiance to Jesus, loving truth are the primary issues. I believe in tolerance. I really believe in tolerance, but the right definition of tolerance. It must be the right definition of tolerance. And I'm not going to let the other people define what tolerance means. I mean, they can. I don't accept their version. Tolerance means this. We value every human being in every religion. We love them. God so loved the world. We love the Muslims. We love the Hindus. We love the world church, false religion, harlot people. We love humans. And these humans have incredible value and dignity by virtue of being human. They're made in the image of God. We want liberties for all religions. We don't want to stop their liberties. We have so much confidence in the power of the gospel. They can have their liberties. They can spew forth their darkness. We believe the light is more powerful. I want everyone to have their God-ordained liberties in our nation. I want to value them. I'm not afraid of them having liberties. I'm not afraid of embracing them and being friendly and touching their heart and them touching my heart in certain ways. They possess great dignity. Tolerance, that's what I mean. I don't tolerate their religious ideas. Meaning, I let them preach them, that's cool. But I don't accept them as of God. And when a guy comes to me and says, well, I'm a Christian and I believe all this stuff, I look at him and I say, this is false. It just isn't the truth. I love you. But the thing that you say to me, I will be friendly to you, but I will not allow you to think I agree with this. That is false. I will not tolerate that. In our friendship, you can talk about it, but I want you to know that I believe it is a deception. I can be kind, I can be friendly, we can have talks, but I'm not pretending to be unified in the name of tolerance. I don't pretend it's okay. It's a doctrine of demons. And I love that guy too much. The abortion The sanctity of marriage is being attacked. There's so much heterosexual immorality and homosexual immorality. Beloved, I love homosexual people that are immoral. I love heterosexual people that are immoral. I love people. But I love them so much, I will tell them the way out of bondage is through Jesus. I'm not going to reject them. They may stumble 100 more times, 1,000 more times. We receive them. They repent. We push delete. We move on. I mean, we all stumble. I get that. I'm a pro at stumbling. But I'm not going to tolerate it by making them think, I think they're walking right with God. No, not if we're friends. I love them too much for that. I say, no, there is true liberty. Let me show you the way. Heterosexual, homosexual, asexual, everybody needs to walk Jesus' way. That's the only way of liberty. I'm not against one and for another. I'm for Jesus. And I want to tenderly embrace and help and love. I don't mean I'm going to point my finger and woe unto you. No, but I'm going to, with tenderness and with tears, say, brother, you're in deception. But hey, let's be friends as long as you know where I stand. So I believe in tolerance. Paragraph B. The conflict in the end times will center on defining who Jesus is. The conflict in the end times will center on defining how we love Jesus. A lot of groups out there say they love Jesus. The Bible says they don't. You know them by their fruits. That isn't love for Jesus. Love for Jesus isn't just worship songs. Love for Jesus has a spirit of obedience and a loyalty to truth in it. The conflict in the end is a conflict of how we define who Jesus is and how we love him. Our love must be expressed in allegiance to the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of some man's imagination. There's so many guys talking about the Jesus, and they're changing what the Jesus is. The Jesus they're talking about is not the Jesus of the Bible, and they can say what they want to say, but that's not the Jesus of the Bible. And again, we don't have to be harsh and confront everybody every time, but if I'm going to have a relationship with someone, I'm going to be straightforward with them. I was talking to one of our governmental leaders, state leaders. He came to IHOP and he said, hey, I want to talk to you. I want to, help IHOP, and I'm a Christian. I said, great, I love it. And so we're talking, and he says, well, I'm personally against abortion, but I vote pro-life because of my constituency. And I said, hey, we might end up friends, so I owe this to you. You are in serious deception. I said, here, have a cup of coffee. And we're talking. He said, well, that's awful narrow. I said, no. I love you so much. You are deceived if you think you're a Christian and you're promoting this. This isn't the Jesus of the Bible. Said, no, it's a little simplistic. And we talked long. I let him speak his mind. I said, I want to be your friend. But when you talk to me, I'll tell you exciting and good things. I want to hear your story, but I will tell you the truth. And I want you to know, you don't sound like a Christian to me. And he had a, who are you to tell me? I'm a man that loves you. That's who I am to tell you. So I go, let's be friends. You can say your stuff. That's cool. But I'll say my stuff and we'll drink coffee and tell stories. But you got to know where I am. He says, well, I'm not comfortable with some of this. I go, that works for me. That means I'm being effective right now. I like that you're not comfortable with this. I like you. Let's keep meeting. Paragraph E. No, D. No, C. Middle page 47. Here's the truths that offend these Christians that I don't believe are Christians. It's not my goal to know a man's heart, but the Bible says we can have understand a man's heart by the confession of his mouth. I don't know anyone's heart except they say it with their mouth or do it with their deeds. I don't have insight in anybody's heart, but Jesus said if they say it with their mouth, you could go with what they say. Okay. These guys are offended by the deity of Jesus. They're offended by the absolute standards that Jesus proclaims because he has the right to proclaim him. He's God. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one way of salvation because there's only one man who's fully God, who is fully perfect. There's only one man who was perfect, and he took the place of the guilty so that the guilty, you and me, could take the place before God of the innocent. The innocent one became guilty so the guilty ones, you and me, could become innocent as a free gift. There is no other man who was innocent and paid the price of guilt. There's only one way of salvation. People say, you say your religion's better. It's not an issue of being better. It's an issue of one man was innocent. He paid the price of divine justice. If you find another man, I will listen, but there is no such man. I'm not trying to be better than anybody. I'm trying to help you because there is no other salvation except for through the hands of an innocent man who paid the price for sin. Everyone else, let me say this clearly, they will end up in the lake of fire. I don't care how good they are. They have to receive the free gift of salvation, and we care about this so much, we will tell them the truth. We're not going to, I call this clumsy humility, this cluttery humility that confuses all the issues in the name of humility, which is really just the fear of man and a man-pleasing spirit. We love these people. We got to tell them the truth. I remember I talked to some of my Jewish leaders. I'm talking about the Gentile guys that are committed to Jewish ministries, and they have this idea that the Jews, if they are a certain way, they can work it out from the law of Moses, and God understands their heart. I go, bro, that's foolishness. There's no other way to Jesus for the Jewish people, I mean to salvation, through Jesus. Well, no, if you go back to Deuteronomy, I go, throw that foolishness away. Only one way of salvation. Well, that will really offend them. I'd rather offend them now and give them a chance to get saved than see them in the lake of fire forever. Let's go to page 49. I'm going to give you just a minute. I'm going to finish on time here, so I'm going to give just a quick kind of advertisement of sorts to these truths. Exposing deception, discerning cults. This is all going together in the same theme. Paragraph A, Jesus taught on the end times. One of his major things when he taught on the end times, beware of false teachers, which means cults. Well, it includes cults. Look at Matthew 24. Take heed, no one deceives you. Many will come in my name. They will deceive many. Verse 11, many false prophets will deceive many. Many people speaking false things and multitudes buying it. And it's in the same hour, verse 14, where the gospel is exploding in power to the ends of the earth. The dark is getting darker. The light is getting lighter. Deception is increasing. The glory of God is increasing. The battle is raging. But we win. False teaching will accelerate. Cults will accelerate in the same time that the gospel accelerates. Turn to page 50, the middle of it. I want to give you seven. I'm just going to give you a sentence or two on each one. I have an hour teaching on this. If you want this for your own life, or maybe you're a 20-year-old, you're teaching a Bible study on it, you say, hey, give me a little bit more on it. On our website, I have an hour on this thing I'm only going to take 3 or 4 minutes on. How to discern false teachers and cults. We need to teach our young people how to discern a cult. So I have a teaching called How to Discern False Teaching and Cults. It's an hour long, and I break this down in a lot more detail. And I'm thinking of empowering 20-year-olds to teach this to your ministries, your college ministries. Paragraph A. If a group displays one of these seven characteristics, they are either a cult or they have a cult tendency. Maybe they're not yet a cult, but they're on the way to becoming one. Number one sign of a cult. They oppose critical thinking. They won't let the people think for themselves. Cult members must accept what the cult believes. Verse number 2 down here, the Bible says, examine everything. We tell our young people here, don't believe, I tell them myself, don't believe anything I tell you. Don't believe what Alan Hood tells you. Don't believe what our Bible school tells you. If you can't see it with your eyes in your Bible, don't accept it. And we charge you. We tell them over and over throughout the year, challenge us. If you love the truth, challenge us. Do it in the right spirit. Do it in the right way. We want you to challenge us. We want to train you as critical thinkers, meaning think for yourself. Don't let another person tell you what the Bible says, except they can point it to you, but don't buy it till you see it with your eyes in your own Bible. Number 2, top of page 51. Cults isolate members. They penalize the people when they leave their ministry. Any group that penalizes you because you leave them, that is a cult tendency. Or they say, you're kind of hanging out with those other groups. We need to love the whole body of Christ with a culture of honor. Yes, there are times to expose destructive doctrines and destructive behavior, but there's a right method and a right spirit to do it. There is a time to do that. But our spirit of a godly man or woman is to honor the whole body of Christ. And when somebody tells you, they start warning you that if you leave them, you're going to be judged, you're going to be penalized, we're not going to talk to you no more, we're going to put you on the bad list. Beloved, that's a cult. I don't care how famous the church is, that's a cult, or at least that's a cult tendency. As shepherds, we need to encourage young people to find the ministry that fits them best in the will of God. I don't care how many years they're with us at IHOP. If they have another place, it is our responsibility to help them get there in the will of God. Number 3, cults have their own doctrines that are real important. 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, whatever. If they have one, that's too many. They're doctrines that are outside of the Bible. True Christianity, we cultivate a spirit of loyalty to the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, we don't accept it. If I say it, it's not in the Bible, I have to unsay it. I have to admit it and then make it right. We are loyal to the Bible. Top of page 52. I don't mean we as IHOP. Yes, we are. I mean the church across the earth. The true church is loyal to the Bible. Top of page 52. Wait, whoa. No. I messed up. Number 4. I forgot 4. Still on 51. Inappropriate loyalty to leaders. We don't want our people with an inappropriate loyalty. There's a spirit of loyalty where we're cooperating, we're honoring each other with biblical principles. We must make people loyal to Jesus and his leadership. Sometimes I'll hear somebody going, I love IHOP, I don't care what. I go, no, that's wrong. I love that you love this leadership team, but don't get overzealous and naive. Your loyalty is to Jesus. You serve this ministry with a spirit of cooperation, but your loyalty's to him. That's the only way we will receive you in our midst as a leader. I don't want loyalty to somebody to me first. That's broken. That leads to all kinds of bad things. I want loyalty to him, and therefore they're on loan to IHOP for a while. Page 52, the top of it. Cults dishonor the family unit. The biblical priority is the family unit. Number 1, cults teach the children more loyalty to the leaders than their parents. That's absolutely wrong. Whenever a leadership team gets young people, particularly teens, more loyal to them than their parents, that is a cult. That is not right. We must teach people to honor their parents. Now, if there are times where the parents want them to do something different than the will of God, there is a place for a young person in tenderness and humility to say, this isn't the will of God, and there's a process you go through. But it's not because the leader said it. It's because that young person has a clarity from the Lord and from the written word, and is confirmed through more mature people they've really heard the word of God. But even then, they make appeals with patience and humility, and they have loyalty to their family. Cults get children and they aim for the women. the women to be more loyal to the cult leader than their own husbands. This is really, really false. Really bad. The identity of one's family is more important than their connection and loyalty to the ministry. Number six, crossing the boundary lines of behavior, particularly in sexual purity and financial or personal ownership. Cults tell everybody else to live one way, and they have liberties in sexuality, which is immorality, and they want the money, or they own the property, or they want you to give their money to them. That's not right. I mean, free will offerings is one thing. We can't cross the boundary lines. Everybody, the leaders, embrace purity. Everybody stumbles and falls, but with repentance and confession, there's forgiveness, and there's covering, and there's a new beginning. I'm big on all of that, but what I'm getting at, leaders can't have a special revelation and have a special way in immorality that they don't repent of. That's false. And they can't have the money and the property. They can't take the stuff from the people. They need to be giving stuff to the people under them and living in greater dedication to God and purity than the people under them are living. Number seven, finally, a cult will try to separate people from the body of Christ. We're the only group that's right. Everybody else is wrong. No, we must honor the whole body of Christ. I'm talking about the sincere body of Christ that's seeking to love Jesus in all the denominations. Again, there is a time to expose and confront destructive behavior and destructive doctrine of leaders. But there's a biblical way and there's a right spirit to do it. So I'm not talking about abdicating that, but I'm saying the spirit of any group must honor the body of Christ and love all the streams in the whole church that are sincerely trying to follow Jesus, and they have a lot of patience where the other groups stumble or have deficiencies. We all stumble, we all have deficiencies. Middle page 54. I want you to stand. We're going to read these two. We're going to end with this. The Apostles' Creed. Let's put it up on the PowerPoint. Let's read it together, all out loud. I used to do this in the Presbyterian church. We'd read this. I loved it. We did it every Sunday. Okay, let's read it out loud. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, I got lots of sins. The resurrection of the body and everlasting life. Let's read the next one, the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father. Everybody together. We got it here? Okay, good. Let's start over. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death, was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scripture. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy apostolic church. We acknowledge one death, baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen and amen.